Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Ava, as you probably already know, but welcome to another episode. I hope you're having a great day when you're listening to this. I have been randomly feeling so domestic. I feel like that just comes with fall in general, because it's like, for me at least, coziness, wanting to bake and make homemade food. I literally just spent like the last 2 hours painting a paint by numbers, not on my own. I am really not artistic. I feel like virtually artistic in terms of like, I do feel like I'm very good at making beautiful things like on an iPad, like drawing on an iPad or with videos. But when it comes to drawing or painting, that is just not my forte. So paint by numbers is actually so fun because you don't have to be good at it. You just have to paint inside the lines. And so it feels really fun. It's also so rewarding to see it come together. I did my first paint by numbers, I want to say in like 2020 quarantine vibes. I ordered it that on Amazon and I tried to do the Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. That was a journey. I think I finished it. I remember it taking days and days, but yeah, it's just really fun to see it come together, see the vision come together, and then like hang it up if you want to. But I got from this local Hawaiian company, which is obviously I love to support, called Hale Pua, which Hale means house or home, and then Pua means flower in Hawaiian. So that's where it's from if you are interested. But they have so many beautiful canvas pieces. So it already comes on like a canvas. I think I want to say it's like 10 by 10 inches, maybe a square. And it comes obviously with paintbrushes, the paints that you need, and hardware to hang your painting, which is super cool. So I bought a few, and yeah, I did Anthurium the first time. It's really pretty flowers. And then this time, I don't even know what it's called, but yeah, I bought three. The next one I'm going to do is ginger. So that'll be really pretty. I just wanted to put that up on my walls in the house. I feel like in terms of where I'm at with the home decorating, you guys know I moved in late April, early May into my home that I bought. So it's still been a process. Even all these months later, it's not done. The outside is not done. The inside, I feel like I've done a lot. If you watch my YouTube videos, you know, but I still feel like there's a lot of blank space on the walls. And personally, I like to fill that up because I want it to feel cozy and homey and personal in here. I'm not really concerned with it looking minimal. I want to have things on the walls that are personal to me. And so even in the office, the room I'm in right now, there's nothing on the wall. And so that would be really nice. But yeah, anyway, I have those pieces that once I'm done with the last one, I'll probably start hanging because I can do a little like gallery wall in the hallway of my paint by numbers and claim that I did it myself. Like, I'm not going to tell people. I'm just kidding. It's kind of funny because when you look up close at the paintings, you can kind of see the numbers under some of them. And I'm like, great, way to expose me. But yeah, I've had a very few cozy days here. And yeah, the fall just makes me feel like domestic. I don't know. I just want to cook and bake. I made banana muffins. So, so good. It's so fun. And I have a few other recipes that I'm wanting to try. So I'm very excited about that. Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I'm in right now of just enjoying and kind of slowing down. I feel like that kind of comes with this season. Also, the season I'm in right now is kind of like, okay, time to get school done. I really want to finish the program I'm doing by the end of December. We'll see. Honestly, it has been way harder for me than I thought it was going to be. Obviously, when you start something new, you're very motivated and excited about it. But now that it's kind of settled in, yeah, my brain hurts. It hasn't been used like that in a while. So I think I just need to get into a good groove of it. But yeah, lots of studying going on, which if you are in school, because it's kind of back to school season right now, or it just happened, you relate. But yeah, it's a lot. But I'm hoping to get that done by the end of the year. That would be really, really nice. Also, we'll see, because I have not been prioritizing it the way that I probably should, but slowly but surely. Also, in terms of working out, I've been having a lot of fun doing at-home Pilates. I haven't done a lot of reformer Pilates classes just because I don't want to drive all the way into the city to do that, because that just takes a big chunk out of my day that I don't always have the time for or want to make the time for. So at-home Pilates, honestly, I feel like it's very slept on, because in my opinion, I think mat Pilates is a lot harder than reformer Pilates. And you can look up on TikTok, that's what I do to get inspiration for some moves and flows to do, but there's some really, really good ones. All you'll need is like a mat, sometimes a dumbbell, or two, or even just like wrist weights and ankle weights. But yeah, I've been loving at-home workouts. I've been doing a lot of those. We built our home gym like 2 months ago, and it's just been so nice to use. But honestly, sometimes if it's too hot outside, too hot in the garage, or there's people here doing projects, whatever, sometimes I'll even just do it in the room here and put down a mat. So I've honestly really been enjoying that, along with Core Power Yoga Sculpt classes. Been loving those. The room is heated. It just feels so good. It honestly feels like a system reset, a detox. So yeah, that's kind of been my vibe recently. I love September for the transitional season that it is, which is so crazy that it's almost done. But I love that it kind of still feels like summer here and there, but also fall's kind of coming into full force. I feel like the best way to fuel your transition into the new season is with Factor's convenient, no prep, no mess meals. So balancing wellness goals with seasonal changes obviously can be a challenge, but Factor makes it effortless. With 35 delicious meal options and over 60 add-ons available each week, you'll always have fresh flavors to discover. Every meal is dietitian approved and ready to enjoy, so that even on your busiest days, you'll have time to enjoy delicious, nutritious meals with ingredients you can trust. Plus, with Factor, you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals featuring premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. So yummy, already in just 2 minutes. It's great. Plus, Factor allows you to customize your preferences, helping you manage calories, boost protein intake, avoid meat, or simply enjoy well-balanced options, which is great. Embrace the season with Factor and make healthy eating an enjoyable experience. Head to factormeals.com/onmymind50 and use code onmymind50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code onmymind50 at factormeals.com/onmymind50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Definitely check it out. I'm really excited for this episode. It's not going to be like our normal advice sesh that we do where you ask questions and I answer, I give advice. I asked on the Instagram to ask me anything, advice that you need or questions you guys have for me. So it's probably going to be a mix of giving some advice or answering questions that you guys have about myself. So let's get into it. Someone asked, what will you miss about living semi-alone? So update if you haven't listened to recent episodes. Micah did move home. What will I miss? I honestly think just the time that I will have to truly just be super productive and have uninterrupted alone time, which I'm so glad he's home. I would not trade that for anything, but I feel like he would be gone for 6-7 days at a time. And so I could use those days and just be so in my grind that now, obviously I still can, but the dynamic is just a little bit different. But when I was like living alone, the days that he was gone, I would grind so hard, just get everything done and be in such a good flow. So I think I will miss that the most, but I'm honestly so happy that he's home. Also, I just feel like I'm not worried about how those dynamics and routines will shift, because the firefighter schedule is very interesting in that he will still be gone 24 hours at a time. And so I'll still have that alone time, which I obviously really look forward to and is really important to me. So honestly, him having that job, the schedule of that is really, really nice. Not pondering on the past decisions / relationships that you can't change. I fall into this too, but I think for me, what has helped me the most is to just do things that make me feel really in the present moment. Because when you are truly in the present moment, doing whatever it is that you're doing and just being and enjoying where you are, there's literally no space for the overthinking to happen about things that have happened in the past. When you're just working towards your future, even, I feel like that is just a really great way to not even give too much energy to worrying about the past. So I feel like that is something that has always really helped me. How has being in a relationship changed your view of yourself? I will say this relationship has opened my eyes to so many things about myself. I feel like being in a healthy relationship especially is like holding up a mirror to all the things that I've never needed to face about how I cope with things, my attachment styles. And it's been really interesting because I feel like I have grown so much because of this relationship and the position it's put me in the best way. Like, there were so many things I didn't even realize that I needed to work on that were only brought out because I am in the relationship that I'm in. And so it was honestly really scary at first, scary to the point that I didn't even know how to process that or understand like why it was happening. But after a lot of growth, quite a few sessions of therapy as well, I've worked through a lot of things. I also didn't realize how low my self-esteem and confidence was. And it's so interesting because being in my relationship, I didn't realize how much I needed to work on my confidence in order to show up as my best self. And I've also realized that I can't rely on someone to give me everything I need in terms of self-love and confidence and building that. That's not something someone else can give you. They can support you so much, and Micah has, but that's something I've definitely needed to work on my own, and that has improved our relationship a lot. But yeah, I think being in a good relationship really just feels like holding up a mirror and being like, okay, these are the things you have to face. It's time to face it if you want this to work. And also, I just feel like this relationship has opened me up to so many new things, new ways of thinking, new experiences that I've had, new people that I've met, and being more open to things, which is so awesome. I really appreciate Micah for that because he brings me out of my shell in so many ways. And I feel like online, you wouldn't necessarily know that I am not naturally the most extroverted person. I feel like I'm a lot more introverted, but I do love people and I love being around people and I love having new experiences. And so, yeah, I feel like I've learned so many new things about myself in this relationship, new things that I wouldn't have tried that I tried because of it, that I like, new experiences, new hobbies. And yeah, it's been really, really great in that way. I've been neglecting my friends. How do I reconnect with them when I'm scared to reach out? I feel like if you're friends, you don't have to be scared to reach out. And even if it's been a while since you've connected with them, I honestly think, especially these days, obviously everyone's so caught up in their own lives and doing their own thing, that a text really goes a long way. Just being like, hey, thinking of you, let's get together some time and catch up. Honestly, that's something that I feel like this is a reminder to myself too, because there's been friendships that I love because they're low maintenance, but also don't take advantage of a friendship being low maintenance. Still check in on your friends and just reach out again and plan something to do, plan a little catch up. This question is also kind of similar in terms of the topic of friends, but someone asked advice on making friends in your 20s. Honestly, this can be really hard and it's really scary. And this is something I'm probably not the best to be giving advice at because I'm not the best at it myself. I will say, I feel like specifically in the last year or two, I've been opened up to meeting a lot of new people, especially through Micah and his like friends, girlfriends and stuff, which is so great. And I've made a lot of really good friends that way, which is so, so awesome. Other ways that I've made friends in my 20s is honestly by going out and doing things. I've made friends, you know, maybe not super deep friendships, but I've made friends, acquaintances at workout classes, like people I consistently see, which is super nice. Just like a familiar face. You can always do that. I feel like it's a lot easier to meet people when you're doing something. You're not going to meet someone, you know, if you're just staying at home, which I love to stay at home. Unless you're like scrolling on social media and you see someone that lives in your town and you reach out to them, which could work. You all know I have my fair share of internet friends, but I feel like you got to get out there, do something that you're interested in. And if you meet someone who's also doing that thing, let's say joining a run club or going to like your local town's pickleball night, whatever it is, you also know that whoever else is there also shares that same interest. So that's already one thing you have in common. I just feel like getting out there in whatever way you can is really, really important. Going to a library, going to like joining a book club or something like that is so nice because you know you're meeting people with similar interests, maybe even like a similar vibe to you. But in general, making friends in your 20s is something you have to be really intentional about because it's not as easy as it used to be, especially once you're out of college, where you're forced to be around these people day in and day out and you're forced to meet new people. Once you're out of that, there is no accountability to, you know, being around people all the time, unless it's coworkers that you see, obviously. But yeah, this is something that I am constantly working on as well, and something that I struggle with is making new friends and yeah, meeting new people, just because I don't have a traditional job where I would be friends with coworkers. And so it does take a lot of effort to reach out, make new friends, but I feel like you just have to be open to it to begin with. That's the first step, is being open to it and yeah, putting in the effort to be in a place where you would make friends. Do you have any plans to get your own pet anytime soon? Yes and no. I say that because I definitely do want a dog. Mike and I have talked about that a lot, and it's been something that I've wanted for so long, but it's also been something that I wanted to think a lot about. I didn't want to just jump the gun, is that the saying, and do it, because I think that would be a little irresponsible, because obviously, especially a dog, is a big responsibility. I want to give it a good life. And I feel like before 2-3 years ago, I was not in the space to do that. I was constantly traveling, you know, didn't really have like a base where I was at all the time, especially with the nature of my job. I was constantly leaving. And so I definitely feel like now I am ready for it, and I've thought a lot about it. And so I would love to, within the next year or so, I would say that would be amazing. Honestly, I feel like especially now with the house, that's something that we talk about a lot more, but I feel like it's just a matter of doing it and getting it to happen and having everything aligned, just because it's not like, okay, let's go pick up a dog from like the local store. Like, I don't know. Clearly, there's a lot that goes into something like that. But yeah, I would definitely say I'm ready. Ready to have a pet. Ready to have, honestly, a companion, because I'm home a lot. And even though Micah's moved home, it'll be nice when he's gone, even if he's, you know, working overtime or something and I'm spending a lot of time alone. But just in general, I'm really excited to, you know, grow the squad, grow the family a little bit. What are your favorite struggle meals? Very interesting question. Interestingly worded. I've been obsessed with the brand Goodles. They're protein mac and cheese noodles. It's so good. They have so many different flavors. I've been getting them from Target, but I've seen them at Costco. But I will say they have more flavor variation at Target. They have like a truffle one, a cacio e pepe one, and they're so good, packed with protein, which is obviously great, and they taste amazing. That's my favorite. That's my girl dinner when Mike is not home and I don't have to make anything extravagant because he's not here. And I'm like, you know what? This is fine for me. I wouldn't make this for the two of us. You know, I'll put in a little more effort because I want to, but when I'm lazy and when I'm by myself, Goodles is my go-to. Or honestly, just heating up like a salmon patty and eating that over rice, which is so simple, or making that into like a burger sandwich situation. But yeah, I love a sandwich. That's like a comfort meal for me. I love mac and cheese, pasta, clearly, and cereal. Cereal is a good, well, I don't know if that's like considered a meal though, but that's like one of my favorite snacks. And sometimes I forget it exists. I'm like, cereal's great. How do I get used to working out in front of people at a gym or in a class? I used to struggle with this a lot too. Actually, I made a big step, and you guys will be proud of this, because I'm usually the one in the back, which is fine. You're still there. You're still getting the damn thing done. In a workout class, I would always kind of choose the corner. And I got there a little bit late. There was not too many spots left. And so I was like, you know what? There's a big wide opening in the front. I literally went in the front of the class. And I will say, it held me accountable, because I'm like, now so many people are perceiving me. But the truth is, everyone's so focused on themselves. And if you think about how focused you are on yourself, you're not really worried about other people. Even if you happen to glance at someone else, you're never really that worried about other people. And you're never really that focused, because you're focused on your own thing. And I think that honestly remains true for most people in a gym or in a class, unless someone's, you know, creepy. I feel like 99% of people are truly minding their own business, doing their own thing. And you don't want to let that stop you. Like, the fear of being perceived by others stop you from doing something that's so good for you, that's going to make you feel better, put you in a better mood, enhance your health, enhance your life. Like, that is so worth it, even if you were going to be perceived. But honestly, everyone is there for themselves, so everyone's focused on themselves. Like, no one's really paying attention to other people. And I used to be really worried in workout classes too, until I realized no one cares. Literally no one cares. When do you want to get married? This is a topic that comes up a lot these days. You know, I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I'm about to be in my mid-20s. I'm in a serious relationship that I know is going that way. And it's something we talk about a lot. And it's just so weird, because I know I'm not necessarily 100% ready when I still feel like a kid. And I don't want to feel like that when I get married. I mean, I might, because, you know, I want to stay young forever. I want to feel young forever. But I knew that it was still a little bit early when the other day Mike and I were at the mall. We were at Bath & Body Works going to look for false soaps for the home. And we passed K Jewelers, and he was like, let's go inside. And I was literally frozen in fear, too stunned to speak. because I was like, oh shit, like this just got really real. We've been talking about it for the past few months. I mean, we've been talking about it since like week one of our relationship. But that made it so real. And I was so scared and so nervous, but it was really cute. He wanted to go in because he was like, I want you to look at all the engagement rings and I want you to pick your top three and then not tell me. And then I'll pick out my top three for you and see if I'm right with what I think you'd like, which I think is so sweet because I honestly want to be surprised with the ring. I also wouldn't be mad at picking it out, but I just thought that was a really cute gesture of wanting to get an idea of what I liked. At the bare minimum, this man knows that I'm a gold girly. So if he were to pull out a silver ring, he would not be the one because I'd be like, do you even know what piece of silver jewelry do I own? Anyway, I don't feel a huge rush to get married because, you know, you could have done it and eloped by now. But honestly, I feel like it's going to happen within the next few years. I'm definitely at that point in my life where I know I'll feel ready for it soon. And it's something that I'm starting to get excited about. And I'm definitely looking towards the future a lot more in terms of, you know, getting married, starting a family, not saying I'm doing that anytime super soon, but within my 20s, because I feel like that's something I'm thinking about now because I'm about to be 24, which means I have 6 years of my 20s left. And I'm like, okay, realistically, an engagement's going to last what, around a year, year and a half, and then get married and then want to maybe, you know, like, oh, I've talked about this before, how I try not to plan things and try not to stick to a super tight timeline, but also at the end of the day, I am just a girl. And so I'm going to have kind of an idea of what would be ideal. Am I going to be ripped to shreds if that doesn't happen? No, because life has never gone the way I've planned it, which is fine. But yeah, it's something I like to think about. I mean, when do I think I'm going to get married at this point? Certainly not this year and not next year. But I don't know when an engagement's going to pop out. Don't know about that one. That's not a question for me. This might sound insane, but as someone who overthinks to the point of feeling physically exhausted from it, something that starts as mental becoming physical, that's how I know, okay, this is getting too far. I will literally say out loud to myself, stop, and just move on, think about other things, distract myself from whatever it is that I'm overthinking about, because it just gets into such a nasty spiral of jumping to the next conclusion and the next conclusion. And suddenly you're in this web of overthinking thoughts. And I literally have to do something to snap myself out of it. Do something that I need to be so present for, or just do something that completely distracts me and takes me away from all of my thoughts. And sometimes that looks like an extremely hard workout with loud music. Other times that looks like throwing myself into work, which, that might not be the healthiest way to cope, but it's a way to cope. And honestly, with overthinking, it is something that frustrates me so much because I will just get way too far with it and it becomes this whole thing and I hate it. So that's what I do. I will literally have to tell myself to stop. And honestly, that in itself will really help to bring awareness to your thoughts, bring awareness to honestly sometimes how ridiculous they are, and breaking the flow of those thoughts. Because with overthinking, I feel like I said, you just jump from one thing to the other, and there's no break in it. But if you cut off, you know, if you cut it off a little bit, the flow is not the way it was. You can kind of put a little bit of a stop to it. Hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, that's something I struggle with too, but that's helped. Should I take back my ex-best friend after a huge falling out and not speaking to each other? Honestly, this could go either way. I think you really have to ask yourself, do I miss them? Do they, you know, like, do they add value to my life as a friend? Do I love hanging out with them? And if so, then sometimes friendships require forgiveness because we make mistakes and we grow from them. And that's just human nature. No one's going to be perfect. Relationships aren't going to be perfect because there's no such thing as perfect people. And so sometimes you have to be willing to forgive and willing to move on. Even if someone did something, you know, that wasn't necessarily the nicest to you. Obviously, everyone has their own boundaries with this, with what is forgivable and what's not. So you kind of have to figure that out for yourself and what boundaries, you know, you want to have. But yeah, it's not entirely uncommon to go through a huge falling out with a friend and then go some time without speaking to each other. That's okay. That's normal to have space and time. And then you come back together and it's like it never happened. And then you're suddenly joking about it. It could go both ways. Or the friendship just never goes back to the way it was. And yeah, both are very possible options. And so, yeah, I think you just have to think to yourself, ask yourself what you want. Do you miss this friend? Sometimes with friends that are really important to us that hurt us, it's honestly sometimes just easier to forgive, talk about it with them, obviously, and move on from that. Because obviously it sucks to hold grudges. Holding grudges literally sucks. It's the worst feeling. And so to kind of give that up brings a lot of peace into your life when you're kind of just like, okay, this happened. I'm going to forgive, let it go. Maybe not forget. That's okay. But honestly, forgiveness is underrated. We don't have to stay mad forever because that feeling sucks, honestly. And like I said, this does not apply to every situation because some things are just absolutely unforgivable. But I think as a whole, it's okay to, you know, go easy on people sometimes because we all make mistakes. Again, I don't know what the situation is. So it could be something so bad and you're like, Ava, what are you literally talking about? But, you know, take this for what it is. Yeah, it seems like you got some reflecting to do because it could go either way. How do you find the motivation to do things when you're in a rut? Unfortunately, it's unfound. When I'm in a rut, I have to literally force myself to do things and that'll do it. Sometimes I will have to bully myself into being productive and getting things done because I can just be hard-headed. And sometimes I can be honestly really lazy that I have to be a little mean to myself, push myself a little bit. And it is hard because obviously I've preached before, be gentle with yourself, be nice to yourself. Yes. But there comes a point where you're a little too gentle with yourself that everything falls apart and you're like, well, now I did not hold myself accountable and everything sucks. So it's about finding a balance. But yeah, when I'm in a rut, if it's really bad and I'm like, okay, I still need to get things done, it's time to push yourself a little bit. And I know that seems harsh, but personally, that is what has helped me in the past. Or if we're not looking to go that route, because that is a little intense, that whole approach, which is not for everyone, I understand. I like to just do things unmotivated and realize that I don't have to be motivated to get a task done. I can just do it. Your skin has been glowing. What is your skincare routine? Thank you. I really appreciate that because you all know I've talked about it, especially a lot of my videos on YouTube and stuff, but I've struggled a lot with body acne, with face acne, with hurtful acne, and with scars. I've dealt with a lot of it. And right now, it's really scary to say out loud because knock on wood, but my acne has been really at bay recently and my scars are kind of starting to lighten with certain products that I've been using. But I will say the biggest thing, and I feel like maybe I need to do a whole YouTube video on this someday or a TikTok or something, but I think the biggest thing that changed in my life, and I noticed a direct correlation with acne burst and, or is that the word, like acne outbreaks? Yeah, that sounds really aggressive. Acne outbreaks, just with pimples that pop up. And I've noticed a direct correlation between that and sugar. And unfortunately, once I started being more mindful about how much sugar I was intaking in my diet and lessening that, honestly, by a pretty sizable amount, turns out my body was not as inflamed on the inside from the sugar and I started getting less acne. And I honestly think that's the biggest thing that I've changed in my life is dietary changes. The biggest one being cutting out the amount of sugar. And honestly, the results from that happened pretty quickly because sugar leaves us feeling, not feeling, but sugar inflames the body. And I would have these like flare-ups and I feel like it would just make me really inflamed. I say unfortunately because I love sugar. I have the biggest sweet tooth, but I have done a good job at finding alternatives for things and obviously still enjoying things in moderation, but I took it to the next level before and I was having a little bit too much, which was honestly causing a lot of breakouts for me. And so yeah, cutting out sugar has definitely helped. And also I just keep my skincare super simple. I'm very wary to add new things into my routine because I'm like, if I find something that works, I'm not gonna try something just because the packaging's cute or it's new on the market. If I know something works, I'm gonna stick with it. I'm very particular with what I put on my skin. So if I ever recommend anything, just know I mean it with my chest, but I truly keep things so simple. I have two different face washes that I cycle between. I have one moisturizer that I use. I have like two different treatment things. And I love the Tower 28 spray. I really, really like that. It's antimicrobial. I think that's the word. But yeah, that's really nice. It's the one that comes in the red bottle. You can find it at Sephora or Ulta. But I really, really like that. I know there's also other alternatives on Amazon for that that are a little bit cheaper. But yeah, I spray that on my face a lot, morning, night, after a workout. That really helps. And in terms of fading my dark spots that I feel like happen literally every time I get a pimple, it goes away. And then I'm left with a dark spot, which is so frustrating. But I love to use retinol. The last year or so, I've been using the one from Paula's Choice. It's in the purple bottle. I really, really like that. I use that about twice a week. And it just helps so, so much. And recently I got the Claudalie dark spot. It's like a liquid. It's so helpful. I just started that maybe a month ago and I'm really, really liking that. Also just being really diligent about sunscreen. I've been so good about that. Even if I'm not going outside on a day, just being good about being in the routine of that, I feel like has also helped because I'm using a lot of products that make my skin a little bit more sensitive just to the sun, like the retinol, for example. And so yeah, just being really diligent about my skincare and also not doing the absolute most because I feel like when my acne was the worst, I was using 1,000 different things, doing just way too much. And so keeping it simple for me personally has been really, really helpful. My boyfriend and I just hit 1 year and I feel like we're fighting all the time about stupid shit. Uh-oh. You'll be okay if it is meant to be. And if you two are meant to be together, you will fight for each other. And sometimes you have to go through that phase of stupid fights. I feel like you'll know if it's, you know, to the next level and something that's actually unhealthy. But like I said, it's normal to, like I said, I didn't even talk about this, but it's normal to get into disagreements. You're two different people. You're not going to feel the same about everything. And the longer you are together, the more you discover about each other, the more involved you are in each other's lives. There's going to be conversations and topics that come up that need to be addressed, and it's okay if you both feel differently about it, but I think the way in which it's approached is really important, and I think the way in which you quote-unquote fight with each other is important because every relationship is different, but personally, I don't think screaming matches are productive or helpful or healthy. Again, things happen. People are human, so I understand that, but I feel like this is the sort of thing that you'll know soon whether, okay, this is something we're both fighting for and we're going to work through this tough patch that comes in relationships, especially, you know, once you're together for a sizable amount of time, or we're just not and it's not going to work out. And maybe we're just, you know, it's not meant to be. But I feel like in general, people are scared to have disagreements or these conversations with their partner about something that's not working because they think that means the relationship is wrong. Relationships take work, especially the right one. And that's something that I've really realized is just because someone is the right person for you, everything is just so amazing and right in all the ways, you're still going to have things just because, like I said, you are two different people. You're still going to have things that you need to work through together. And that's okay. Relationships take work. It's about understanding if you're both willing to put in that work. But yeah, that sucks. Honestly, that phase sucks so much. I would say to just make sure that you're still coming together and finding solutions at the end of these fights or conversations, arguments, whatever it is. Finding a conclusion, a solution to it, working on it, growing from that. You don't want to have fights where it's the same one recurring all the time. That's not productive. That's not good. And that's just going to spiral into something probably worse. Get to the bottom of a problem. Find a solution, apply the solution, and come back together as one. That's the last question I'm going to answer for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to my advice, my answers. If you want more of me, you know where to find me on all the other corners of the internet. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening. And that was everything on my mind.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.